Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Not a Fitness Pro. I am your host, Michael Suh, and I am not a fitness pro. Before I introduce my next guest, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you guys are listening this on. It's 5-star reviews, comments are strongly encouraged and appreciated. Also, give me a follow on Instagram and TikTok, as well as my brand new YouTube channel, all three under the name Not a Fitness Pro. So please go ahead and do that. Subscribe, follow, like, do all that stuff for me to help me grow my platform. Today we have a very special guest. He is a motivational speaker, a certified personal trainer, and a testicular cancer survivor. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Matthew Oddie. Welcome to the show, Matt. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. And just excited to, you know, share it to your community today. So thanks for having me on.
So like I mentioned in the intro, you are a testicular cancer survivor. You are how old?
So I'm currently 31 now.
31. And you were diagnosed with cancer at what age?
24.
24. Okay. Yeah. Which is insane young. But before we get into all that, because you're a motivational speaker, you're a certified personal trainer. I mean, this obviously had a huge impact on your life, and the fact that you beat it is awesome. Taking back to how you got started before you got diagnosed, what were you up to? College, sports, athletics? What were you doing?
Absolutely. So, you know, my whole life was kind of, I guess, dictated or predicated around like health and sports and things like that. You know, ever since I was like 5-6 years old, my father had put me into some different types of sporting events. I mean, I've tried it all from soccer to football to baseball to basketball. I ran cross country and track. Those were probably my biggest sports that I actually did for a while. And then, you know, I was running cross country and track. I hit college and I was running close to 90 miles a week, which was just like,
Jesus.
Yeah. I burned out. I 100% burned out. Now, don't get me wrong. My coach was incredible. He was an awesome guy. I had an incredible team, but it goes to show like any sport in college is absolutely no joke. So any college athlete out there, whether you're D1, D2, D3, doesn't even matter. You know, the dedication that it takes to, you know, be the best version of yourself in that sport. So for me, I did it my freshman year, I did cross country and track. And then, by my sophomore year, I just felt so burnt out. And I was like, you know what? I want to do something different. I don't feel like looking like 130 pounds anymore. You know, I wanted to look better. I wanted to put on some muscle. And, you know, so I started hitting the weights and I started, you know, going into the gym more. I started lifting 5-6 times a week, because this is what I would actually usually do. Was I was so obsessed with it before that I would run those types of miles. And then I would sneak into the gym after, and I would try to lift for like an hour. And my coach would find out and he'd be like, why are you lifting so much? You're a cross country runner. I'm like, I don't know, man. There's just something in me that like loves this. So, that's what really got me into it. And, you know, my senior year, I had gained like 60, 65 pounds and, and I was like, you know what? I graduated with a business degree, but I knew that, health was the route I wanted to go. And, you know, I said, okay, you know, I'm super young. My uncle, who is the business owner of a software company, around 300 or 400 employees, gave me this incredible opportunity. He said, hey, I'd love to give you the opportunity to be our wellness director for our company, meaning basically you come in and you create a healthy atmosphere. I'll even give you your own little space with a small gym to offer personal training to our employees. But you, of course, have to get your certification in personal training and a couple of other things. So I did that. And next thing you know, that's how I got my personal training license. And I, you know, started to teach others in that field.
And then so you graduated college with a business degree, got a job with your uncle, which seems like a really sweet setup. It seems like you just walked into a dream scenario there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of years later, you get the news of your life. What was going through your mind at the moment when the doctor said you had this?
Yeah. You know, so 24 years old, I was no joke, like 3-4 months before cancer, before I started getting these symptoms, was truly the healthiest version, our healthiest, you know, version of myself ever. I was probably under 10% body fat. I was, you know, eating the right foods. I was working out every single day. And, you know, in 24 years old, you think you're invincible. You know, right. Anybody in their young 20s thinks that they're invincible. And all of a sudden, I started to get these minor back pains throughout the summer. And I just started dating my now wife, but I just started dating my girlfriend at the time. And, you know, I started telling him, like, you know, a lot of these activities that we usually do, I can't really do these anymore. So you need to get yourself checked out. And I just kept being ignorant to the fact that I wouldn't get checked up. So one night, it got so bad that I actually ended up puking up blood one night, and I got rushed to the emergency room. They did a blood test on me, found out that I had lost close to 2/3 of the blood circulating in my body, which is equivalent to, you know, basically being shot with a gun. They're like, we need to figure out what's causing the bleeding, like, right away. So they immediately give me 6 bags of blood to give me my energy back. Once they did that, they then said, okay, we're going to put you into a surgery, figure out what's going on. We think it's an ulcer that's causing the bleeding. The next morning, I wake up and I'm thinking I'm ready to go home. You know, I feel a lot better because they've given me the blood and everything. And all of a sudden, my doctor walks in. He has this blank stare in his eyes. And I remember looking at him, and I was just me and my parents at the time. And I knew something was just so wrong. He comes over to me. He sits down and grabs my hand. He says, Matt, we found an 11-centimeter tumor in your small intestine. We know it is cancerous. We just don't know what type yet. And we have to rush you to the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic immediately. So I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and we have to rush you from our local hospital to the main campus to figure out what's going on. So right then and there, I just remember looking at my parents, who were crying at the time, and, you know, just in shock. And of course, I felt the same way, but I had so many emotions flooding through me that I was like, how do I stay strong for them, right, and stay strong till I have to give the news to my friends and Lauren, you know, and so many other people. And that right there was probably the most challenging part of it all. So it was just literally like a 180 of, like, you feel like you're the healthiest version of yourself, right, and your life can get changed in a blink of an eye.
Right. I mean, you think the doctor's walking in saying, okay, you're discharged, you're good to go, you had a minor little thing, we fixed it, it's over, you're good to go home, but instead you're going to another hospital.
I was eating cereal, literally just been like, okay, I think I had like some Apple Jacks or something. And right. I swear, I was just like, yeah, I remember when he told me the news, my heart just like sank. And it was more, I don't know what it was, which is super weird, because usually I'd be like freaking out for myself, but like, I was more concerned for the, you know, other people, like the people I love the most, which is kind of weird, but that's just how it was at that moment. Right.
So when did it, was there a moment that it hit you? Were you alone, or were you with your girlfriend at the time saying, oh my God, I have cancer at 24 years old?
Yeah, it was probably a day or two later when I actually got to see Lauren. And I think the worst thing I could have done was what I did, was hold in everything. And this is the number one thing I want to explain or express to most likely men. Women, you're usually a lot better at this, is expressing your emotions, sharing with what you're going through. And I feel like for a lot of us men, we have this like perception of like, if we share that, like what we're feeling, it's a weakness, or it's a sign of like, yeah, it's a sign of our insecurities. But
the vulnerability that we don't want to show, that we're men, we're tough, we have to be strong for everyone else out there. But we have to have our moments, right?
You have to. It's okay to express your emotions. Right. If anything, it's the best thing that could have happened. So when I did it was when I finally saw Lauren, and I was so nervous because I was like, we'd only been dating for 2.5 months now. And I was like, is she going to break up with me? All these different emotions flooding in. And all of a sudden, I just remember locking eyes and we started hugging each other, crying. She's like, I'm not going to leave you, obviously. And I'm going to be here every step of the way. And I just broke down. And that right there was when I was like, okay, now I can focus on me, and it's okay. I truly believe in order to be selfless for others, you must be selfish for yourself first. You have to take care of yourself first.
Yes.
So for me, I said, okay, finally, I was able to release everything and say, what are the next steps I need to take in order to go through this next process? And that was first figuring out what type of cancer it was, which they eventually found out I had what's called stage 3C testicular cancer. Same thing as basically stage 4. There's not really... It's just in the testicular terms, it goes by like stage 3A, stage 3B, stage 3C. It's equivalent to having like a stage 4 cancer of a different type of cancer, I guess you could say. So for me, it was the highest stage of testicular cancer. And immediately they said, like, we need to put you on chemotherapy, like, today to start. So, yeah.
So how much time was there between the notice when the doctor told you got what you have to the time you entered chemo? Like, did you have even enough time to kind of get your bearings in order and say, okay, what is going on here? What just happened in the week?
Yeah, so it took them a day to find me. They actually had to put me in an ICU bed because there was no beds available.
Wow.
There. So I immediately got rushed to an ICU bed to start off with, you know, and that took a full day. And then once I got there, it took about another day to really, they did so many tests. They did blood work. They did ultrasounds. They did CT scans. They did everything you could imagine to figure out how the cancer originated. And eventually they did find out, which is super weird, that it originated in my testicle, but I never had any testicle, symptoms, which is the weirdest
part. No issues, nothing to alarm you and say, okay, I think there's something weird going on down there. I got to get it checked out.
You got it. Yeah. And that is super rare. Most men, if you have something down that lasts over a week or two, you go checked out. Now,
right.
Nothing can be cancer. But for me, it was never like that. And it originated there, but it formed in the small intestine. That's what took them so long. So really within 2 days of me talking to that doctor, I was at the clinic at the ICU, and then I was already starting chemotherapy. So it was within a 48 to 72 hour period.
Jesus. So how long was the chemotherapy? Did you do chemotherapy for?
Yeah. So I ended up doing chemotherapy for close to 3 months. How it worked was there's 5 rounds and, it was really, really intense chemotherapy. You know, chemotherapy isn't just like, oh, you get chemotherapy. Like, everyone doesn't get the same type of chemotherapy. Right. Of course, since I was so young and I could handle it, they said, we are going to really up the dosage and try to knock as much of this cancer and shrink this tumor as much as possible. So my cancer, the best way I can explain it is in testicular cancer, you have what's called your AFP markers, which is a blood tumor marker. Your blood tumor marker, your AFP for a normal male should be under 5.
Okay.
For me, I was over 100,000.
Jesus.
It was off their chart. I wasn't even in their chart anymore. It spread across all my body. They ended up doing an MRI on my brain to make sure it didn't spread there, which thank goodness that was like one of the few places it did not spread in my body. But it was 5 days on of this chemo. And then I would get about a week and a half to 2 weeks off. I get about 2 weeks off and then I repeat the cycle 5 times. So, but after that 5 days, for about 3 to 4 days, you are just completely out of commission because it's doing is killing your good cells, it's killing your bad cells, it's killing everything in your body. And, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, how was your nutrition and all that? The problem was too, is you can't even eat. Most of the time when you're on chemotherapy like that, you can't eat fresh fruits or fresh vegetables because your body's what's called neutropenic, meaning that they're afraid that any virus or any type of bacteria in these plants or in these fruits could harm your system. That's how weak your immune system is.
Whole foods like that, they thought that it could have a negative impact on you.
Has to be canned. It can't even be for most of the time. Yeah. So I wasn't even, and I remember the first time I was eating a ton of fruit and I got a little sick and she's like, what have you been eating? And I'm like, oh, I'm eating berries and I'm eating, you know, vegetables, trying to eat healthy. Right. And she's like, eat healthy. But she's like, you can't have these fresh fruits. You can have like canned fruits and you can have canned vegetables, but you can't have the fresh ones because of the bacteria that's in the stuff that they use to usually preserve it. So
I had no idea. Yeah. I know. That's crazy. I know. You figured like a doctor is going to tell you, eat good, whole, healthy, fresh foods. And this is the one time I think doctors will tell you, don't eat those kind of things.
Exactly. But, probably the one and only time. Seriously. Right. So listen, man, like I would eat, honestly, when you're on chemotherapy, I'll say this, if you can just get calories in your body, that's the most important part. Because usually your body,
suck all the energy sucked out of you pretty much, right?
I would eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to give me calories and things like that. You know, it's not, the healthiest thing, but I'll tell you right now, like calories is the most important part when it comes to chemotherapy. And of course, if you can eat healthy, awesome. But the biggest things when it came to it was number one, taking my nausea medicine because this chemotherapy and a lot of chemo can really make you nauseous. Mm. And if you don't keep, a track of it and it catches up to you, it's like a vicious cycle. It's almost damn near impossible to then take control of it. So you have to stay on top of it. So I had to always take my nausea medicine. I was super weak all the time. Could barely get out of bed. And then the worst part was when I finally started to feel better after about a week and a half to 2 weeks of the recovery, I was like, okay, here comes round two. Okay, here comes round three. You know, I'm losing my hair. Right. I'm at round one. So chemo was no joke. Anybody who's gone through chemo knows somebody who's gone through chemo. It is a really, really challenging time. And, you know, but it does the job of killing everything in your body. And yeah, I know a lot of people say, hey, there's natural routes and things like that. There are, but there's also times in my opinion, time and places too, where, you know, your cancer spreads so much that, you know, I've seen people try to go a natural route and then it keeps spreading. And you know,
you got to do modern medicine at one point. At a certain point, you got to accept modern medicine and say, okay, it's too much for me to handle by myself. I need a team of doctors to help me.
Exactly.
Combat this disease. 100%. So that's great. So how much weight did you lose?
So I was about 185, 190 pounds when I started, and I dropped down to about 140 to 145 pounds in about 3 months. And the crazy part was the chemotherapy wasn't even the most challenging part of my entire journey. So the next part was many, many near-death experiences that really transformed my life to who I am today. And, you know, that was the craziest part. But yeah, I lost about 45 to 50 pounds during that time.
When you say near death, what do you mean? Like you're flatlined for a second, or were you just rushed to the emergency room at certain nights the week because of the way you were feeling? What do you mean by near death?
Yep,
that's scary.
Exactly.
That's a really scary thing.
It is. Yeah. So I'll give you the 3 to 5 minute version, then we can break it however you want after.
Okay.
So when I finished chemotherapy, I sat down with my oncologist and he goes, "All right, Matt, we have some great news and we have some really tough news as well. Great news, the cancer or the chemotherapy worked. Your tumor marker has shrunk from 11 centimeters to about 3 centimeters. Your cancer AFP marker is under 100. So you're getting close to almost normal." And I'm like, okay, awesome. But he said, "That tumor, it's not going to go away on its own. We're going to have a surgery. And the tough part is your tumor, it's wrapped around what's called your inferior vena cava. Now, your inferior vena cava is basically a central vein that goes from the bottom of your upper body to your heart." He said, "It's wrapped around it right now. We're going to have to remove the vein. We're going to have to remove the tumor. And we're going to have to remove the rest of the cancer that's in your body. And it's going to be about an extensive 10 to 12 hour surgery with 3 different surgeons involved. And we don't know the complications." So... And finally, once I heard that news, that was the longest 2 weeks of my life before surgery.
That's finally unbelievable.
I finally get the surgery done. It was about 10 to 12 hours long, just like they told me. They removed the tumor, they removed the vein. And unfortunately, about 2 weeks later, so going into that surgery, like I was telling you, I was about 145 pounds. Coming out of that surgery, I was close to 200 pounds. What had happened was my body completely swelled up, and I think it went to some survival mode. And unfortunately, when a lot of that fluid that had built up in my stomach, because they cut me open from my left hip to my right hip, was supposed to drain out, after about 2 weeks, the draining just stopped randomly. And my body went to what's called compartment syndrome. And that's basically where your body starts to shut down. I ended up having kidney and liver failure.
Jesus.
I got rushed to the hospital again. They ended up having to drain in a matter of a couple of weeks that had drained close to 7 liters of fluid out of my stomach. They ended up putting a catheter in my chest and in my neck because they thought I was going to be on dialysis for the rest of my life. I had a cone drilled inside my head because they wanted to monitor my brain because they thought there could be brain swelling from all of the fluid that was building up. I ended up falling into a 2-week non-induced coma. Now, long story short of all of this, I ended up in the ICU for over 40 plus days. I was in the hospital for over 53 days. And a week out of my 2-week coma, they go to take out one of the catheters in my neck. I end up having an arrhythm heartbeat, and I end up going into cardiac arrest. And a lot of people know the DeMar Hamlin situation for the NFL. You know, I didn't have the exact same situation, but if you do know, when they brought him back to life, they ended up having to sedate him for a whole entire week because what happens when you go into cardiac arrest, they can't just let you just come right back to life and then your heart starts functioning properly. They have to sedate you for about a whole week in order to get all your vitals and everything in check. That's exactly what they had to do for me. They had to put me under again for another week to let my heart, let my entire body come basically
like catch up to everything normal standards.
I finally wake up, and it takes two to two and a half weeks for me to literally laying on my bed to taking my very first steps again with 3 to 4 nurses every single day helping me out. And in that process, I ended up having 5 major surgeries. The last surgery was, you know, of course, all unexpected, but the last one was extremely unexpected. I was actually almost ready to go home. My stitches bursted open.
They had to rush me back into
emergency room. They had to open me up completely, literally take out all of my abdominals, put a huge football-sized mesh on me, and I had what's called an open wound surgery. And basically, that took an entire year to heal. But before that, you know, like I said, I was in the hospital for 53 straight days, and I dropped down from 200 pounds, like I was telling you, to 110 pounds. No food, no water. Everything was IV basically for every single one of those days in there. I would try to drink fluids, and I would just puke it up whenever I was awake. So,
and you dropped 90 pounds roughly in how long a period of time?
Probably about 2 to 2.5 months. That was it. And yeah. And I dwindled to nothing. I was skin and bones. And, in a matter of 8 months, I was this healthy personal trainer to dwindle down skeleton, you know, fighting to learn to completely rewalk and rebuild my entire life again. And here's a really cool story, though, is I met Lauren, who's my wife. I, you know, I'm very faith-based, but I don't push it on anybody. But as a Christian, I there's a lot of stories, and I could share a couple if you ever wanted, but there's a lot of stories that, you know, God really put in my life. But we met, me and Lauren met on March 17th of 2016. And she, no joke, was with me every step of the way. I mean, she was in the hospital every single day, you know, pure angel. I was released from that hospital after 53 days on March 17th, 2017, exactly 1 year from where we met. And for me, it was like, God, like,
That's a sign.
It's definitely a sign. So, but I'll tell you right now, the recovery process coming out of that hospital was absolutely brutal. But that was the quick 3 to 5 minute version of what happened. So many near-death experiences, but I just felt like this was a turning point in my life for, you know, God just saying there's a new path, there's a new mission. I think anyone who's struggling in some way or form, just know that on the other end could be a beautiful new chapter in your life towards something so much bigger. And sometimes we have to hit rock bottom in order to see where we need to go next. Don't think of rock bottom as the worst possible place. Yeah, it's a terrible place and it's tough to be in, but sometimes that's where we need to go in order to see the light towards where we're really meant to be.
That's incredible. And this is in an 8 month pretty much time period that you went through everything that you just described. It was an 8 month time period. That's insane.
Yeah. August 13th was when I was diagnosed, and March 17th was when I was released from that hospital. So I think 8 or 9 months. Yeah.
Wow. And then, so how, what was the rehabilitation process like afterwards? Obviously you're down to almost skin and bones, like you said. How, take us through how you got back to kind of like your normal shape.
100%. So, you know, I have my 3 pillars. I have my faith, my family, and I have, you know, my own willpower, my own determination. And I think that this is why it's so important to live a healthy lifestyle, because I truly believe if I had not lived a healthy lifestyle before all of this, the road to recovery would have been even more insane. You know, I always say the greatest investment you can ever make is in yourself.
I agree.
It's in your body and it's in your mindset. And the first thing I had to change, the first thing I had to work through was any limiting beliefs I had towards healing myself. You know, I had a massive body image issues. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm just shell of myself. You know, I look like this just totally different person. So I have insecurities there. I become the victim of my situation, which is super easy. You know, I have a little saying now in life is everything in life can happens for you, not to you. And what I mean by that is if you always say, why is this circumstance happening to me? Why did this happen to me? It's easy to become the victim of the situation. Easy to say, why me? And end up having so many excuses that you just never break through. But if you say, how is this happening for me? Instead, you can then take the lessons of all the challenging moments and use that to become a better version of yourself. And I said, okay, what is all the knowledge that I had already gained from, you know, being a personal trainer, being a wellness director over the years that I can use to now heal myself? And I said, it's stopping a victim, because the only person in life that's ever going to truly make a change is yourself. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is one thing today? How do I win the day? And there's a man named Andy Frisella. He's an entrepreneur, but yep, he's also very much into fitness. And he talks about this concept. It's called winning the day. And what it is focus on one or two critical tasks that's going to help progress you forward today. And keep the promise you make to yourself when you say you're going to do it. Meaning, whatever you say you're going to do today, make sure that task gets done. And when you do that and you win that day, the compounding wins will turn into weekly wins, turn into monthly wins. And then by the next year, if you just have those small daily compound wins, by next year, you will be so far ahead of what you thought you could be in becoming and transforming your life, whether it is your mindset, your body, relationship, your business, whatever that might be. And that is what I had to do, was one or two critical tasks. And here's what I did. I would literally, this is how I started to learn to walk again. I put one lawn chair in the front of my driveway, one lawn chair at the other end of my driveway. Mm-hmm. You know what I do? I'd literally sit up from that lawn chair, put all my might, had a cane, walk to that chair, sit down. This was maybe like 10, 15 meters. Contemplate life a little bit, get my butt back up, and then walk back to the chair. You know what I do the next day? I push it a little bit further and a little bit further. And guess what? One day that lawn chair was not in the driveway anymore. I started walking into the sidewalk, and I kept going further and further. And one day I was with my dad and I said, Dad, don't even bring the damn lawn chair. I'm making it all the way there and I'm making it all the way back. And that right there, when I did that, flipped such a strong switch in my life that if I can do this, I can conquer anything. So just know that when you conquer those really tough days, when you're like, oh, you know, I could just take an easy day when I'm sick, or, you know, I just don't feel like going to the gym today. Right. So I'm gonna, and you should be going to that gym. Those are the days that's going to push you forward and help you become the best version. It's not the days that you feel amazing and you're ready to go and you have all this energy. No, it's the days that you don't feel like going, but you know you should be doing it anyways. And
And I think that's the true test of self-accountability and discipline is, Mike Tyson said it, doing what you hate to do, but do it like you love it. And everybody has those days where they don't want to go to the gym. They don't want to go for a run. They don't want to do anything. They just want to lie on the couch. That's the test to me. That's the hurdle you have to get over. Yeah. You want to go to the gym. That's easy. You get up, you go to the gym, you lift some weights. But days that you don't want to go, those are the true testing days of whether or not you have that self-accountability, where you have that perseverance to push through all that. Was there a moment in time? Because I'll be honest with you, I get news like this and I go through what you went through, I'm borderline giving up. I'll be honest with you. I like, my mentality is just, I don't think I'm alone in this. I'm just like, I don't want to, like, this sucks. Why? Again, the victim mentality. Why is this happening to me? But that one little word choice that you changed from 2 to 4 impacted your whole perspective on life in general. Was there a moment in time during this whole process that kind of like switch flipped for you, or were you always like this going in?
No. You, I love this question. That was a perfect question, because I did almost give up on myself. So about 2 weeks after I was released from the hospital, I ended up getting rushed back into the emergency room. My standing heart rate was at 150 beats a minute. My blood pressure was like 190 over like 85. My temperature was 105 degrees. I was literally like breaking down again. I almost thought I was going to die. And the whole reason was just like you said, I had no accountability anymore. I had my parents in law, but it wasn't like every day I woke up, there was a nurse or a doctor saying, okay, Matt, it's time for physical therapy. It's time for this. No, like I was pissed. Like I was so upset. And I said, I don't want to do shit for 2 weeks coming out of it, because it was very difficult. I had low energy. Every step I made was so painful, but I ended up getting rushed to that emergency room, stayed there for about 5 to 6 days. They got my vitals back in check. They got everything. I started getting fluids in me, all these things. I remember getting back home and I had this conversation with Lauren, and basically the conversation came down to was, she wasn't being mean or anything like that, but she was like, Matt, if you don't start making the change for yourself, there's a good chance you will not be here next month. And I don't mean that in a hard way. Like, it was a conversation me and her both had. I remember I broke down crying for no joke. Like, 2 hours. I was just like, I couldn't hold my emotions in, but
right.
It was what I needed to hear. It was tough news, but it was exactly what I needed to hear.
And it was a reality check for you. It was like, yeah,
that's when I started to do the whole lawn chair and started to, when I started lifting, I literally would grab 2.5 to 5 pound weights and started doing bicep. So I couldn't go over my head or anything. I didn't have the strength yet. So just small daily things. And that was when I said, Matt, nobody's going to change but yourself. That's it. You have to, you can have all the accountability in the world. Just like if you can hire a personal trainer, you can have all these amazing coaches, which you should, because I think it will help hold you accountable. But at the end of the day, they can give you everything. But if you aren't the one who's willing to make that change, it'll never happen. And that's when I had to say, okay, Matt, one foot in front of the other. Let's just make the change
literally.
Today.
Yeah, literally, yeah. One foot in front of the other.
Literally, it was life or death. For me, you think of it that way. You can think of life as like life or death, which for most of you, it's not going to be life or death. But if it is, like saying, hey, in 10, 15 years from now, who's the person I want to be? Do I want to be the person who's constantly going to the doctor because I have high cholesterol levels, I have high blood pressure, I haven't taken care of my body? Or do you want to be the healthy version of yourself where you can take care of your grandkids, have a healthy relationship with the people you love, do the things you want when you're at an older age, not have to constantly worry about going to doctor visits and your health? Think of the long term of all this. And for me, I had to be selfish in that circumstance and just solely focus on myself.
So you're Lauren, your now wife, but girlfriend at the time, it sounds like she was, and your parents, of course, sound like they were just the biggest support system that you had and that you needed. Because without them, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today.
100%. Yeah, no doubt. My parents, my mother instilled the faith into me, which is in everything. You had Lauren, who was like an angel. And my dad was like, I needed him for like my, literally, like, you know how you have that one person who you just want to make proud, or you want to, it gives you some energy that you can't explain, because like, you just feel like when they're in your presence, you're like, I got this. Like, you know, you feel like you need that person. That was my father. So those three, and then trust me, incredible medical staff and incredible friends and family too. I mean, I had the most amazing support I could ask for. And unfortunately, I know there's some people who do go through tough times that don't. But I would say lean on faith and lean on anybody you can. There's got to be one person in your life that you feel like you can share what you're going through to them. So please don't be afraid to do so. I don't care who it is. If it's a friend, a family member, somebody, don't be afraid, because these journeys should not be fought alone ever. They are really, really challenging journeys. Whatever you're on, a weight loss journey, you're going through cancer, whatever it might be.
So you started out walking in between lawn chairs, you're using that, and eventually the lawn chair is gone. You're walking around the block with your father. Some of your exercise, or what did you do to kind of get you back to the right track to get you back to where you are today?
Yeah. Step Pulse was another one. Yeah. I did have a physical therapist come to me. We would just try to go up a couple of the steps in my, in my house, and then come right back down. I did some band work. So a lot of band work to help strengthen the hips, help strengthen the quads, the hamstrings, everything. Stuff, because I can't do squats yet. A lot of maybe sits to stands.
Literally starting from zero, right? I mean, you're literally your whole body. There's no muscle anymore. Like that's it.
Yeah. The log roll to get off of a bed. That was part of my physical therapy. Was I had to learn to get off of my bed again. Like, it was that challenging, because you got to remember, I had 5 massive surgeries already in my stomach. I have this huge wound that, by the way, did take a full year for my skin to eventually heal over it. Wow. When I went to the weight room, think of literally an infant just starting from zero. Mm-hmm. I did some bicep curls for 5 pounds. Then eventually I got the strength to do some lateral raises. Eventually I would get the strength to, go over the head to do some presses, or I'd do a tricep extension. We had like a little seated Bowflex. I would try to do some rows on there. I had a little, so to go to the most basic form, you have those, it's almost just like a little bicycle, but it's for your hands. Mm-hmm. I would just move on that. That's all I would do. And it would be so painful, man. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is 5 minutes. It was like 5 days, but I would just do that. And it's so small increments. And I remember I would do laps around my basement, and my basement is so small, one lap, like 5 meters, but I would try. Okay, today I'm doing 2 laps. Today I'm doing 3 laps, whatever it is. And eventually, it's just such small progress. But I'm telling you, it happened so quickly that within 3 or 4 months, I was starting to eat healthy. I know I could now eat the fruits and the vegetables. I was eating lean proteins. I knew what I needed to eat. I had the knowledge. That's why I say the best investment's in yourself. Learn how to live a healthy lifestyle. So in case anything does happen out of the ordinary, you know what you need to do to pick yourself back up. I started to eat more calories, and that was probably the biggest thing, was eating more calories gave me the energy source, gave me the strength. And within 3 to 4 months, then I was back to maybe 140-ish pounds. So kind of like surgery weight. And I was starting to get back to where I needed to be again. And that's when I could just start lifting. And then eventually, thankfully, you know, I was able to get back to work after about 5 to 6 months. I started using the gym there. I started using that gym. And I said, you know what? Okay, I'm picking up 15 pounds today. I'm doing some chest press, picking up 20s. And now I'm stronger than I ever was. You know, I mean, you know, of course, 5-6 years later, but it's just small incremental progress. And this is the biggest thing: I was consistent. I did it every single day. I did something. I just did something small every day that compounded into those massive wins. You know, I think there's a saying that someone says, "Don't fear a man who takes one." I don't remember the exact concept, but it'll be something like this: "Don't fear the man who punches 10,000 times in one day, but fear the man who punches one time 10,000 for 10,000 days.
Right. The consistency is the message.
Exactly. That is the point. And, you know, make sure that you are doing constantly every day something small, because those compound wins will be so much bigger than you just saying, okay, I'm going to do all this and try to get this done in one day. Patience, right, my friend. It takes some time, but you will enjoy it. And when you look back, it's the journey that you appreciate more than the destination.
I totally agree with you. I think that applies not just to the fitness world, but everywhere. Where I was in the restaurant business, and building the restaurant, my restaurant, was the funnest part. Once I hit the open sign, day one, yeah, it was fun, but it's kind of like plateaued a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the days leading up to it were the most fun for me. It was the most exciting for me, because you see something being built from the ground up, from a shell of a space, four walls, a ceiling, and a floor, to now where people come in and enjoy themselves and have a good experience. So doing that with your body too, and seeing that transformation must have been a pretty good jolt for you, right? But there has to have been times where you're like, because you were so fit and you're so athletic and you're on top, you know, just feeling good about yourself, and you had that job. Was there moments in time where like, I'm only doing 15 pounds when I was doing 35, 40s, and you know, I can barely body squat when I was squatting 225 pounds. Was there any moments like that for you?
All the time. Yeah. And I think when I realized that, I was comparing myself, either to other people or comparing myself to a past version of myself, anytime I did that, I discovered that I was putting myself into a hole or a dark place that I couldn't control. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. It really is. I truly believe that you should never compare yourself to anybody. You should want to learn and grow from other people, or learn and grow from your past mistakes or past successes. But you should, if you live in the past, it's going to cause depression. And if you live in constant worry for the future, it's going to cause anxiety. So you need to learn to stay present for the majority of your life and learn from the past and plan for your future. So absolutely, I would look in the mirror, and it's okay to be discouraged a little bit.
But sure. I think that's natural, right? That's a natural biological. 100. It's hard. We're hardwired to feel that, have emotions and feelings like that. So it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to be ashamed about. Like, it's part of life.
Yeah. Don't compare yourself even to your own path. What you should do, though, is it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be upset. But then just say, okay, what do I need to do today to literally progress myself to where I want to be? This is what you should have. You should have a 1-year goal, and you should even have a 5-year goal. And what you should do is you should have small incremental goals to leading you to those 1 and 5-year plan. I think somebody who doesn't have a 5-year plan, you need to write down on your piece of paper. It's going to change. Of course it will, but have a big, massive goal. If you don't have big, massive goals, too many people want those 5-year plan in their 2-month plan. And it's like, you have to realize it takes time. You know, it takes time to have the amazing body you want, or to live the lifestyle that you dream of. But sometimes if you do create that 5-year plan, you can shrink it into 2 or 3 years. You'll be amazed. But don't get discouraged, and don't put massive expectations that if I don't achieve this goal in this period of time, I'm a failure. That is not true. That is not who you are. It's going to take time. And you have to remember, it's all in God's timing. And you have to know that, you know, you you are on your own journey and your own path. Nobody else's path right. for you.
Well, that's the thing too. And I've said this in previous episodes, and I've told people this too, that the people that you see on the internet, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, they didn't wake up like that. All right. They didn't wake up with a yacht. They didn't wake up with a six pack. They didn't. I promise you they didn't. Unless they were just giving it to them by their parents. But you're not waking up with a six pack. I don't, you know, after 1 week, you're not coming home from the gym with a six pack. So yeah, like you said, you can't compare yourself to those people because those people started when you were. You're looking at their end result. They're what 6 years later down the road. You got to look at yourself now and progress and see how they got there as opposed to what they look like now. Like, what did they do to get that six pack? What did they do to get that yacht? What did they do to get that $10 million mansion? You learn from that and not just, okay, I don't have a $10 million mansion. I'm a failure. That's not how it works.
Not at all. And this is exactly, I would never be speaking today if I didn't learn from other people. And I didn't, and you are the average of the five people you hang around with. I will tell you that right now. You hang around with people who constantly want to talk about glory days, who want to drag other people down. Guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be doing the exact same thing. But if you want to be surrounded by winners, you need to surround yourself with people who want to progress, who want to see you succeed in life. And unfortunately, sometimes you do have to cut some friends or you do have to cut some families out of your life. And it's not that you can never see them again, but you have to limit your time massively with those types of people. And this is exactly how I became the best version of myself and was able to speak and get on podcasts and help other people. And I've created a Facebook group of over 6,000 members of cancer That's awesome. Patients, survivors, and just helping them through health and fitness. And that was me joining a group of people who, you know, it was a mastermind that I ended up joining. That I was definitely afraid to even join because I didn't know what it was about. I didn't even know what really a mastermind was at the time, but I knew that I wanted to do something bigger with my life. This is about 2 years after, once again, 2 years after I recovered, because then I was like, okay, I feel like there's something bigger in my life. And I think a lot of people attest when you overcome something challenging in your life, you realize that you've been given a second chance. You realize that there's something bigger for your life. And that was me. And I just didn't know what it was. So I said, okay, I'm going to join this group. And as I was joining the group, we'd all start sharing our stories and things like that. And as I was sharing my story, a lot of people were like, are you a motivational speaker? What do you do? Are you a coach? Like, what is your thing? I said, I don't know what I do. I was a personal trainer. I'm still a personal trainer, but I don't like, you need to share your story more. You need to get out there. Your story is incredible and you need to help others. And that's the power of you surrounding yourself with people and sharing your journey. And they will start to help direct you of where you need to go when you surround yourself with the right people.
So why did you decide to share? Even though they were encouraging you to do it, you obviously have to ultimately, this decision is yours. What made you feel, what compelled you to say, okay, I need to share my story. I want to tell my story. I want to motivate people. And then you just like kind of fell into this motivational speaking gig. And then all of a sudden it just kind of, you know, exponentially grew from there. But what made you want to share your life?
Seeing the lives I was able to touch when I would share my story, I think, I've done a decent amount of live speaking as well. And to have people come to me and open up, like saying how they had this massive addiction, how they had cancer or how they had these challenging moments in their family and how my story is inspired them to make a change in their life, that right there. And I think at the end of the day, true happiness, comes with taking care of yourself, but it more importantly comes with giving back to others through something that you have overcome or you are passionate in your life and want to give back to change others' lives. And when I was able to see how I was touching lives and how I was helping to change them, whether it was physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that right there was like, oh my gosh, this was definitely a path I need to start, venturing more into.
It was a calling for you.
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
It takes a lot of courage, man. I was
of course. My story. Absolutely. You don't know if people are going to embrace it. You don't know if people are going to, you know, unfortunately, there's some bad people out there. There's some scummy people out there that, you know, will make fun of you or say something that's negative or mean. It's part of the business, I guess. So I guess you can't let that discourage you from really getting that message out.
know that those are the people who are the most insecure in life.
I agree.
Those are the people who are actually going through something. And most right. of the time, even though they're directing that towards you, it's their own self.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. You could be any Joe Schmo out there and they would have said the same thing, yeah. but it's their internal kind of mental insecurities that are forcing them to act and behave that way, which is unfortunate, but hopefully they learn.
And I think that's what holds us back a lot in life from our true potential. And I want to tell people to don't let that hold you back. The opinions of other people. If you truly believe deep in your heart, this is something that you want to get out and you feel like it's a good intention, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go and do it, because instead of focusing on the three or four people that may criticize you, focus on the hundreds and thousands of people's lives you may change throughout this process. So that's just something I want to explain.
That's awesome. So you're 31 years old. How are you feeling now? How are you feeling today?
I feel great. You know, it's incredible, man. Like just, you want to be further along. Of course, even me.
Oh, of course.
We all do. We want to be, we want to have these, a huge business, or we want to have, we want to have a certain type of body or a certain type of life and things like that. And of course I'm striving to do that. But, besides that, man, I'm truly blessed. I get to share my stories, around the world. That's the cool thing about podcasts now and Zoom. You can share it around the world, wherever they may be. And so I've done that. I'm coaching other, not just cancer survivors, but survivors in general who've gone through challenging moments in their life and are ready to change their mindset and their body. I felt like after what I went through, that is such a passion of mine now. And I want to take that to the next level. And I think survivorship, after going through traumatic experiences in life, is something that we don't talk about enough. You talk about the treatment and you talk about getting that part taken care of, but you don't talk about the afterlife of it. The tough times that you go through to really go towards that next step and finding your next purpose and calling in life. So it's been amazing. I built a Facebook group about a year and a half ago. We are growing. I just built another Facebook group 2.5 weeks ago. We have about 300 members in it already, which is awesome. All about only health and fitness related. So if they're ever looking for that, it's not just cancer, it's just health and fitness and really helping you transform your body, right. your mind, and becoming the best version of yourself.
Are you kind of back to where you thought you would be at this moment? Are you lifting weights? Are you squatting a little bit more, like heavier weights? Are you, how's your eating? What's that like now for you?
I eat about 3,000 plus calories a
awesome.
Day,
That's
about
190 awesome.
to 195 pounds. I lift 6 days a week. I squat, I deadlift. Now I will say this, it's still hard. My cardio, I had kidney and liver failure. My lungs have taken a big beating. I went to cardiac arrest. They put a lot of damage right through my chest area. And so cardio is a challenge for me, but I said this is the year where I stop making excuses and push myself and see what my limits are. Of course, don't be stupid, but break through those limiting beliefs that you have. And this year, I'm going to, of course, continue to lift. I love that. It's just my passion, but I'm going to get back to my roots of doing more cardio as well. And I think it's super important to do cardio for just health reasons, for your cardiovascular health, your heart, your VO2 max, your everything, man. There's just so many benefits to it. So have a well-balanced range of it. Flexibility, your lifting, mobility, your cardio, eating the right foods, sleeping properly and hydrating yourself. You take care of those things and then your mindset, whether it's doing some type of prayers, meditation, or reading a journal, or reading a book that's going to help progress you in life. You do those things. You're on the road to success. I'm going to tell you right now, you are that 1% if you can do those things.
That's awesome. What was a food that you couldn't wait to eat when you were able to?
Oh man. So it's going to sound terrible because it wasn't a healthy item. But
of course not. It can't be a healthy item. If you tell me like broccoli, I'm not going to call you a liar.
Yeah. I like a good chicken and broccoli,
Of course, but that's not what you're waiting. There's something else out there.
It was a buffalo chicken dip that my friend had made me when I was in the hospital and he brought it to me. This was near the end when I was able to slowly eat like liquids kind of stuff. Like I told you, from Jordy, I couldn't eat or drink anything. Right. He brought it and they're like, no, he can't have that yet. And I swear, like a month later, when I finally could, I couldn't eat a ton of it still then because my body is so boring, but having that bite of the buffalo chicken dip was just like, oh my gosh, like it's
one of the most satisfying moments of your life, right?
So worth it. Yeah, so worth it. So that would have been the food that I was so excited about.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I'm telling you, your story is incredible. I hope that your groups and your followers grow exponentially, because you are a great speaker. You got me all pumped up, I'll be honest with you. You know, I think it's amazing that you persevere through all of that. I mean, you know, cancer is one thing, but then having all the other complications and issues on top of that as well is not an easy thing for any human to go through. And the fact that you did that is truly inspiring. And I hope your work keeps on growing. I hope your audience keeps on getting bigger. Where can people find you?
Thanks. I really appreciate that, Michael. You know, it means a lot to me. And, you know, you can actually just go to my website. It's Matt Odie, MattOdeSpeaks.com. And it has all my social media stuff on there. I have my Facebook, my Instagram, my TikTok, YouTube channel. Really cool thing that me and my wife did a few years ago that we want to get back into is we did a channel called Dating After Diagnosis. And it's all about our journey together. So the caregiver side as well, going through cancer. And it's just a really cool journey that we kind of got to share together. So, you know, if you are ever looking for a speaker, if you're looking for a coach to help you transform your mind, transform your body, become the best version of yourself, just go on to either my Instagram, my Facebook, send me a personal DM. I will happily, you know, hop on a call, see if it's a good fit, and we can go from there. So
listen, to everybody out there, I think he knows what he's talking about. He's living proof that miracles do happen with the right mindset. So thank you so much for being on the show. You're a truly amazing person, and it was a pleasure and a joy to speak with you today.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
Thank you again to everyone who listened to this podcast and all the other podcast episodes. I really do appreciate the support. Again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and TikTok. Also, YouTube channel. I started making shorts, so please subscribe to that as well. And until next time, enjoy the rest of your day.